sure hope you're hungry. Ooh, I'm starving. Wash those hands, pull up a chair, and secure that feed bag. Because it's time to listen to Scott Tolinsky and Wes Boss attempt to use human language to converse with and pick the brains of other developers. I thought there was going to be food. So buckle up and grab that O-shit handle, because this ride is going to get wild. This is the Syntax Supper Club.
Welcome to Syntax, the podcast with the tastiest web development treats out there. Today, we've got an awesome episode for you with Anselm Hahnemann. Did I get it?
Yeah.
Maybe a little overpronounced. We're sponsored today by three awesome companies. Hasura gives you a real-time GraphQL API when you point it at any of your existing data. Strapi, they are a JavaScript-based CMS. They also work with TypeScript now. That's in beta. We'll talk about that partway through the episode. And SeedProd, they are a no-code website builder for WordPress, which is pretty sweet. We got a no-code episode coming up next week for you. So stay tuned for that. We'll talk about all these companies partway through the episode. So I saw this video, I don't know, like 6 months ago or something like that, on burnout in web development, and how he started doing a bunch of gardening, which also piqued my interest. I'm really into that. And it's just like a really cool, it's one of those honeypot documentaries, which Scott also had one done on him. They're fantastic. I really like them. And I thought, like, this is really cool. I'd love to have him on the podcast just to talk about burnout and how you deal with it. And also just like, I also want to talk about growing things as well, or whatever like else.
Yeah, gardening as well. Yeah,
whatever else pops up. So, welcome. Thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, hello. Thanks for having me.
Oh, absolutely. Do you want to give us a couple minute rundown of who you are, what your background is, and then sort of like what happened to lead you to growing things in the ground, as well as becoming a developer?
Yeah, sure. So I'm Anselm. I'm from near Munich, Germany. So I think 9 to 10 hours ahead of you, time wise.
So it's pretty late for you right now.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for coming on so late.
Bit of a history. I started web development when I was 14, so back in 2003 or so, and started doing things with Photoshop and those pixel table stuff.
Yeah,
it was wild times, but it was fun. And I was still in school, so I just tried to make my own website. And somehow I got stuck on it and started my own business during school. And after school, I went on the civil service. And after the civil service, I had so many clients already that I decided not to study anything, but just to go on my own business. And went on for, I think it is 15 years now in history. Yeah. So it's 15 years of being a freelancer in web development, mostly front-end development. I have done a couple of career moves. As said, I started with front-end development, then got full stack, then web was pretty lame back then. So I decided, well, what about publishing? And I went into print publishing. Then it was the times where print publishing was going a little bit difficult. So they decided to do these digital publishing stuff called e-papers, called apps, interactive magazines. And I combined both things by coding all the HTML5 stuff into these apps. And it was really, really interesting because it was mixing two industries.
Yeah.
And afterwards, I realized, well, okay, so publishing is nice, but I have the feeling that it's nothing new there. And it was the same time when we had when CSS3 and HTML5 arrived. So when the web
those are the good
got
days.
Awesome yeah. again.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, right.
And there were so many things to do, and you could really code great websites now. And web standards attracted me. So it was these these times where, everything was really new to all the people, and I got to events and conferences and gave talks about stuff, and it was all about networking. So this was a great time, and I worked for a couple of clients, big, small, medium size, and I think it was 5 years ago when I realized, well, something is not great and not like 15 years ago, for example. Mm-hmm. I have struggled before, and I had a burnout, a small burnout, I think 3 months or so, after one of the jobs for a publisher. It was working all the weekends, 25 hours, then Monday off, which is not great because it's Monday and everyone else works. And it was for 1.5 years, all the weeks. And it was a great job, but still so exhausting that I fell into a burnout. I realized only later that I was sitting in front of my computer and I couldn't do anything. Mm-hmm. I was just sitting there reading emails, but even reading the emails, it was like reading and forgetting about it. So gladly I realized myself, and I just took the chance and took some time off, did different stuff, and it was better again afterwards. But it was the first sign that something is wrong and that I shouldn't continue doing it like before. So I started doing more fun stuff on the weekends, more sports.
Yeah.
Not working all the day, all the time in front of a computer and doing multitasking all the time. And I think it was fine then for a few years again, but I realized later on, like 5 years ago, that I don't want to do this until I'm retiring. I realized, well, something has to change, and I considered, well, what can I do else? What is different to sitting in front of a computer? And somehow gardening attracted me.
Yeah.
I was always gardening as a side business, or I mean, not even. Like, for myself, a little bit. And it was always feeling great. So I realized, well, why not doing that in a little bit of a bigger style? And this was when the idea came up of making a market garden where other people can profit from what I grow. So it was planning, I think, 1 or 2 years, because I don't own any land. So I had to search something nearby, and it's not that easy. And you have to make some sort of a business plan. I mean, I just wanted to do that as a 50% job or so. And still, you need to plan something. And mm-hmm. Gladly, I found my brother in a job change as well, and we agreed to do this together. So this was pretty interesting because he was not living here. Now he does. And we just started it off, and it was great. It's completely different to programming, to coding. And I don't know, since I'm doing this, I have more fun coding again, and it's just great because it motivates me. It calms me down. You can just forget about everything in life, in politics, just with the nature, with Earth, and you're connecting with that and calming down. And it's just rewarding to get the crops and see what you've done and achieved. So this feels great. And today, I'm serving like 100 people food.
Wow.
It's actually only seasonal vegetables, but even that is great. And it's most... I think today I'm doing 60, 80% gardening and only 20% coding programming anymore.
Yeah.
It feels great still because I can focus more on my own things in programming.
Yeah.
Client work and,
and it probably makes you feel so much more refreshed. I know me personally, I have, I don't do necessarily a ton of gardening. We have a few boxes and, you know, we grow some things, but for me, like landscaping is the same way where if I could spend all weekend landscaping, my Mondays always feel that much better because you're getting away from screens, you're getting to interact with the real world and get your hands dirty and stuff. It feels very therapeutic.
Exactly. Yeah.
Awesome. Wow. That is kind of an unreal story, and I love to hear of people that actually like went for it because you hear a lot of people, I'd love to garden or to do woodworking, and I see it in some of my own friends where they are trying to squeeze in a hobby in the evening because their work is starting to burn them out. And honestly, I think regardless of what you are doing, it's so important to have hobbies or some sort of other thing to put your time and energies into. And it's one thing I get all the time on, specifically on Instagram, on Twitter a lot. People always ask me because I do all kinds of stuff. I put a hitch on my trailer or on our car last week, and I do a lot of electronic stuff, and I'm propagating hundreds of hydrangeas in the garden right now. And I did a huge sprinkler. Like I'm always into something, and
you dug your own sprinkler lines like that. I think that's an outrageous project.
Yeah. We could talk irrigation in a bit, but that kind of stuff is very fulfilling to me. And it's my very aggressive take at trying not to get burned out on this type of thing, because like you, I've been at it for 15 years. And I often get people ask me, what's your time worth, bud? Like, why are you installing your own trailer hitch on your van? Why don't you just bring it to it? Or why don't you pay somebody to paint your house? Or like, what are you doing that? And I'm like, because I don't want to burn out, and this stuff really interests me. And the day I start calculating what my hour is worth after I'm clocked off for the day, because, instead of installing a trailer hitch on our van, I could crank out another course and make this much more money. Mm. That's a downward spiral. And I'm
totally
often scared at the amount of people that ask me that, because it's like, you should be doing this stuff full cook all the time. Otherwise you're going to burn out real quick.
Yeah. It's so important that people also trust themselves, and they just should do what they think they should do. So many people have awesome ideas, but they don't follow up on it. And they are too anxious to really try it. But often, I mean, even with gardening, which is a lot of work, and I mean, you can't not, or you need that some time to care about the garden, but still you can do it as a side business or just with a few hours a week. It's totally possible. And if it's not the right thing, then just stop and change and think about it again. So,
I think that what's the most important is just having time away, you know, spending that time, whether it's with your family, your friends, whatever. Any time away from screens is important. And I have such a huge trouble with that. You know, I'll sit down and like have my Nintendo Switch out and then my iPad with a hockey game on it and then my phone, and I'm just like surrounding myself with screens. And my wife is a psychologist, and she'll often be like, listen, your screen usage has gotten to the point where it's a problem. Like, you need to unplug, you need to go do something else, and you need to like, because it makes you anxious, it makes you depressed, it makes you overloaded, burnt out, all those things. And it's just endlessly important to get away.
Yeah, and as Wes already said, it's a spiral. So you start sitting too much in front of a screen, and then you look into the screen and into another one, and you check up your smartphone at night. Mm. And it's just, if you can't escape, it's a problem.
This episode is sponsored today by Hasura, which is an incredible backend for your data that spits out a GraphQL API in no time at all. In fact, we got a demo of Hesera in just about no time whatsoever. We had data relations, we had emails being sent, and we had subscriptions in a real GraphQL API that we could test out via our GraphQL testing interface. We could edit and modify via a just like a what feels like a normal kind of table, database table interface, and everything that just feels really great to work in. You can get your GraphQL database up and running with authorization in absolute no time whatsoever. And you can include data sources from all kinds of places, whether that is REST APIs or your own other servers. It's really super neat. And your data is stored in a Postgres database. So no more messing around with resolvers and mutations and who knows what trying to manage your own GraphQL server. And let me tell you, no more data loaders. That was one thing I was really impressed about in the demo, is that he set up some relations for us in no time whatsoever. And he didn't even have to write any data loaders whatsoever. Yeah. And you know, when you're getting into your own custom GraphQL servers, that can be a big pain point when you're trying to optimize these things. So what you're going to want to do is head on over to hasura.info. That is hasura.info/free trial. You can use the code TRYHASURA and you'll get 3 months of the Hasura Cloud Standard tier for free. Now, only the first 100 people can get that code. So I know there's more than 100 people listening to this right now. So if you're interested in this, and by all means, grab that. Should head on over to hasura.info/free trial or click the link in the show notes. Use the coupon code TRYHASURA. And if you like Hasura, let them know you heard about it on Syntax too, just to let them know. Okay. So thanks so much for Hasura for sponsoring.
Do you have any rules for, like, do you have any rules around that type of thing? Like, do you still want to check your phone, or like, do you still want to sneak in a little bit more coding, or is it just like, are you at a point now where you're like, I'll go and check it out when I'm interested, but like, I'm not sure where you're at with that.
So it changed a lot in the past. I had a lot of rules. I tried switching off the phone completely during day, during work day, then check it 2 times a day. At latest, I think 3 or 4 hours before going to bed, et cetera, et cetera. And it worked fine, but it was really restrictive and it didn't feel great.
Yeah.
But it worked out to get away from that, I don't know, Twitter, Instagram addictiveness. And I think nowadays I can do whatever I want again. So I still don't have Twitter on my phone, for example. I don't have the feeling that I need it anymore. But I can check everything at every time, except I have one rule in my house. Wi-Fi is shut down at 11 p.m.
Oh, wow.
Oh, interesting.
Completely. Wow.
Wow.
That's kind of cool, yeah.
It is great because we started in bedroom eliminating the phones, and it was always difficult to achieve it and really do it. And then we decided, well, let's just put on airplane mode, and it's so easy to circumvent that.
It's so easy, yeah.
So right. I tried that, and it's the best choice ever. And all the neighbors that are using my Wi-Fi, at first they were like, wow, this is early. Well, this is not great. And neighbors. A week later, well, let's try that. It's actually a great idea.
That's hilarious. We did like no TV in the bedroom. And I was thinking, we're not going to have a TV in our bedroom ever, right? But we do both end up having our phones on the like wireless magnetic stands right next to the bed. And then we have like little Google displays in there for lights. Like, I guess it's really, it's not really no TV, is it? These things are all basically little attention grabbers or you know, mind sinks. That's I love all of that. That's
and I mean, it took us half a year or so to get used to that, and now it's feeling great. But the half year, it was mixed feelings.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. How do you know if you are starting to get burned out? Like I think people wonder, like, am I burned out or is it just hard or am I disinterested in this tech? Like, what did that look like?
Yeah. So when I had my first burnout, I didn't realize early enough. So this was difficult. And even I think 1, 2, 3 years later, when I had similar experiences, I wasn't sure what the problem was. Only later I realized what the real problem is that's causing a burnout. And it's usually a combination of happiness at work with the job you're doing and your personal life around it. So if both is bad or non-existing or worse than before, than you're used to, then it's going into a direction where it's always a spiral downwards. And it depends on the spiral where you're at. If you're on the top, you won't notice. But if you're like in 1/3 or at the half, there should be signs like, this is stressing me out, while if you really think about it, it's not that hard or it's not that much of work, but you still are totally stressed out on the tasks. So that's a first sign. And also if you ask your friends, and they need to be good friends, they need to be honest to you. And if you ask them, well, am I happy? How am I talking to you? Am I a negative person? And they say, well, you were happier before or something like that. Then it's the second sign. And then it's really time to do something. Because when you go into that burnout stage, other people will realize it. They will notice that you're always annoyed or in a bad mood or something like that. And they usually don't tell you in advance or when they realize it. But if you ask them, many people do. So that's a good idea to ask them. Yeah.
I know you wrote for Smashing Mag for what, like 7 years or something like that. I just checked, like you have over 100 articles on Smashing Mag. So like if I were to have a list of the 10 most dialed in up-to-date people, you would probably be on that list. And like, do you not feel or do you care anymore about how quickly this type of thing kind of goes by? Like, we talk about FOMO, fear of missing out. And then there's also JOMO, the joy of missing out. Do you worry about that? Or are your skills at a point now where you're just like, I could learn that if I need to?
Well, so I think at some point when SPAs and all the frameworks got out of hand and every week a new one came out, but on the other hand, nothing changed in reality.
Just putting variables and divs. Yeah.
No, I mean, it was every week a new framework, but then it's still Vue and React, so why bother? And I think that's when I decided, well, I'm still up to date when I know all the basics and all the small details. They change over time. They change in 3 months. That's not a problem. If you want to learn it, if you need it for a job, you can learn it very quickly. So that's not a problem. And I mean, I've been doing sorts of a newsletter. It's called the Web Development Reading List, which is what I mostly wrote for Smashing Mag, like these update posts. That, I mean, they summarize per month or every week what is happening in web development. And I was really good from the beginning when I started this project at summarizing everything. So I never had that fear of missing out myself. And I was always happy to read. And I'm super interested in that stuff. So I love to read for hours a week. That's not a problem. But at the same time, I still was really bad at dealing with my time and capacity to learn, which led to my burnout. So while I helped other people to avoid a burnout and to tackle the problem of fear of missing out, I still didn't manage for myself 100%. So that's definitely something to note. But on the other hand, I was always happy to read, and I decided, well, other people are struggling with that, so I want to share that. What I know, what I felt important this week, this month, I want to share that with others. And I think it's the main reason why people love the newsletter and why Vitaly from Smashing Mag asked me to publish it on their site as well. And it was always great feedback on it. So I think the demand for summaries is there. It's still there. Mm-hmm. It helped a lot of people. And nowadays it helps myself as well, because I have less time these days because I'm a gardener mostly now.
Yeah.
So I need to focus. Well, I have some time to read now. I collect the links, I summarize, and I realize, well, what changed since the last month, really? And it's crazy because I'm learning so much from my own writing now. It's interesting.
So it's funny that, you know, we're talking a little bit about summary here, and I think oftentimes, you know, people feel like they need to have a deep understanding of all of these things, but in reality, it's more or less needing to have an understanding and awareness of what is even there and at a high level what these things are. So that way, when you need to pick something up, you can then do the deep dive. And maybe you don't need to do the deep dive before you need to, and maybe that's a little preemptive. And so just having a summary is more than enough to get a lay of the land as terms of like what's out there and what do I need to have on my radar, and maybe that's all you need, right?
I mean, even myself, I'm Googling on my own site,
yeah,
just to find the links that I shared in the past, because I know I have a good library there, and I can always look up something when I need it.
Oh, that's great. Let's talk about one of our sponsors today, Strappy. They are a JavaScript-based CMS that's easy to integrate with your favorite JavaScript frameworks. Strappy's awesome. I've used it quite a bit myself. It's really cool because you just go ahead and define all your content types and spin that sucker up, point it at a database, and out the other end, you get a full like GUI for actually editing all of your content. And then you also get like a full-blown either a REST API or a GraphQL API. They have a huge marketplace full of all kinds of integrations. So if you want to like, okay, well, like I have a Svelte or a Next.js or like literally it will work with anything website, but I also want to integrate it with this email sender, or I want to do e-commerce with it, you name it, you can integrate it with it because it's just a JavaScript-based CMS and you know JavaScript. It's really, really cool. You can fully customize it yourself. You can NPX create Strappy app and get it up and running in just a matter of time. Plus, they have a really cool website. Go to strappy.io and just like scroll through the website. How sweet is that? They do a great job at just like, I don't know, as you scroll through it, it like animates the code snippets back and forth. Mm. I just love playing with that. Go to strappy.io/demo. That's going to give you a demo. market.strappy.io for all their integrations, or strappy.io/resource center. That will give you, they've got some really, really good docs. So thank you, Strappy, for sponsoring. If you build anything with it, tweet us at SyntaxFM. We'd love to see what you built. Can we talk about your garden for a bit then?
Sure.
Yeah. So I'm just on the website now, trying to convert the German into English here. Is it called Shovel and Fork translated to English?
Exactly, yeah.
Ah, that's great. So what type of stuff do you grow?
A lot. So actually vegetables. couple of fruits as well, but mostly vegetables, cucumbers, tomatoes, peppers, cabbage, salads, a lot of types of various salads. I think we have around 40 varieties or so on our garden. So our main focus for the gardening project is also we want to grow things that you can't buy in the normal store. Because
okay,
if we grow the same, we're yeah, we're nothing else than the stores ahead. And the stores are cheaper, so why go to us? So we decided, well, we go the hard way and we search for varieties that aren't that common. And we tell the people, well, there's more than what you can find in the store. And this is what people also like.
Man, that's neat. I have a question for you about plant food. What do you what do you feed your plants? Like, do you use anything like
fertilizer? Just for, compost?
Yeah, like what kind of fertilizer? So, because as an amateur here, we were told you have to you know regularly use plant food, but I've always just used like a seasonal one time like soil treatment. So I'm wondering, what do you recommend for plant food?
So I'm giving workshops on that topic, which lasts for 3 days.
I'm happy to hear that.
So I'm trying to give a summary here.
Yeah, that's all right.
3 days. So we should fly down to Germany.
Yeah.
Well, 3 days. Yeah, we can do an English workshop. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
If you come over, I'm promising you get a workshop in English.
My wife speaks German, so I'll just bring her as a
even better
translator.
Cool. The most common answer that I want to give is mixed manure. Mm. Like you can, best would be your own manure. Like not the bought one, but you do it yourself and you mix up everything you can get. Like the green stuff, the plant stuff, some from horse shit or something like that. Mm-hmm. And you just mix as much variety as you can and then leave it for 1 year it's pretty ready. Mm-hmm. And then you give it to your soil and the soil will really love it. So that's the best you can do.
And when you say your own manure, do you literally mean your own manure or do you mean to make it yourself?
If you use your own, you need to be a little bit careful. Okay. And it should be really at minimum 1 year that is laying there. So actually one could, we don't because we also sell the food, et cetera. And yeah. It's just, yeah.
Yeah,
it's
comforting. Yeah, but, seems a little weird.
I know a lot of people who do it and I don't know.
Wow.
One could, but I'm not up for it.
Yeah.
I have so much other material. I don't need it.
For the amateur, if you're walking into a store to purchase food, just like straight up, is there anything that's even worth your time there? Or is it like, is it all garbage? I know, obviously, like I've heard Miracle-Gro is nothing
from
but garbage. But
Europe to Canada to US well.
I'm sure, but maybe contents.
I have no clue how your stores look like. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm only producing food or vegetables in summer right now, or meaning from April to November. So in winter, I need to go to the shops and buy something. And it totally depends on what I buy. Like, there's good stuff in the shops as well. It just depends on what I buy and what is worth it. Of course, a lot of things, they taste better from my own garden. But since I have everything in summer from my own garden, I don't mind buying something in winter.
Yeah.
But our clients, they had a mind shift because since they are our customers, they say, well, I don't want to go to the grocery store anymore and buy vegetables there. It doesn't taste good there. And I think what is like the best feedback we could get, we lost, I think, 3 or 4 customers already. And the reason was, well, I want to try growing my own food now in my own garden.
Nice. Yeah.
So this is really nice because we motivated them to do this. And I'm happy that we lost these customers. Sounds weird, but that's part of our goal. That people realize how good food can be and how awesome it can be to grow your own food.
This is making me want to do my... We have a huge garden up at our cottage. And I have a couple times tried to keep on top of it. But the irrigation was always an issue for us. So I have put in sprinklers last summer. So maybe this summer is the time to go forward with that. Do you have irrigation as well? Like, is this land that you is near where you live, or do you have to travel to it?
So I'm living, I think it's 8 kilometers. Well, however,
yeah.
Are you?
That's all. I'm from Canada. Yeah,
we don't. But I can kind of figure it out. Yeah,
we don't bend to people who use miles.
I don't know, 3 miles or so.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, something around there. Yeah.
So it's 10 minutes by car. My brother lives there. He has like 30 meters away.
Oh, nice.
So yeah, that's good. However, we have some sort of irrigation. It's not a permanent setup. It's actually, I think it's petrol-based pump that we put into our very small river nearby. And I think we used it last year 3 times or so. So we're here. We have a lot of rain. We don't have a problem with dryness, and we also have great soil where we have the garden. So that's one of the real advantages.
Yeah,
I would say we have the best soil in our area here, like 50 kilometers or so.
This episode is also sponsored today by a new sponsor, which is Seed Prod. Now, Seed Prod, SEEDPROD, is a no-code custom WordPress website builder. This allows you to build really, really complete WordPress sites with no code, with tons and tons of pre-made templates that give you access to having consistent design across your entire website that you're making here, including having your brand's assets really just work really well together. Too often times when you use some of these things, you're just kind of dropping in your stuff into something. So this is guaranteed to look good here, and it's a really great alternative to some of these other no-code solutions while maintaining your application being built in WordPress. And WordPress powers just about most of the web, so you'll have tons of resources if you ever need to use in any kind of WordPress things here. You have WordPress at your side still. So this is a no-code solution for WordPress that has tons of integrations, things like Constant Contact, ConvertKit, Zapier, MailChimp, and even Webhooks integration. There's over 100 section templates to help you save time. There's lots of neat things like dynamic text personalization, domain mapping for agencies, and more. And if you're a developer, you'll get access to basically a tool that allows you to build prototypes really fast and allow you to have your marketing team actually work with you rather than against you in building something like this. There's also 2 million stock photos built in, which, I mean, 2 million stock photos. I can't imagine putting 2 million stock photos.
It's part of the download. It takes six weeks to download.
Yes. Wes is making that up, by the way. So don't take that to heart, please. And so give it a try. What you're going to want to do is head on over to SeedProd, SEEDPROD.com/syntax, and you'll get 50% off their regular price. There's also a free tier. If you want to go ahead and give their free tier a try, you can get that started and just see what they have to offer. You can also just select the link in the show notes here if you don't want to type all that out, and let them know that you heard about them from Syntax by clicking that link and checking it out. So thanks so much for SeedProd for sponsoring.
What about weeds? How do you? I know there's like a couple approaches to weeds. What do you have? Do you have to pick them?
We have a lot of weeds. Yeah, I don't know any garden, especially in the beginning, that doesn't have weeds. It just depends how you deal with it. And I should explain that we just started last year on the area where we are now gardening. So it was grassland for, I don't know, 50 years or so. And it was poorly managed grassland. So cows and sheep were standing there for the whole year. And this is not great. So we had a lot of weeds and unwanted plants there. But now in the second year, we managed quite fine. We have a lot of tools for that, and the tools are really, really helpful. So gladly, there's a scene in the market gardening industry, which is itself pretty new. But this scene, they just try out new tools, and it's amazing what people invent there. So it's mostly mechanical, but it's so useful that weeding got so easy for us. It's not a problem anymore. These days, we manage to keep the whole garden clean in, I think, one person one day a week. Yeah.
Oh, that's not
which
too
is
bad.
Great for, I think we have 2,000 square meters, whatever that is in your
let me convert that. That's something we use in Canada. Let me convert it to square feet.
I think 4 acres or something like that, maybe.
It's 21,000 square feet. So 21,000 square feet to acres. Acres is kind of what we use up here. Half an acre. Okay, that makes sense.
Half an acre, okay.
Yeah, that's pretty big. And you farm all of that?
This is where we farm the vegetables. We have 1 hectare, whatever. It's 10,000 square meters. Not sure.
1 hectare to square... Ooh, 2.5 acres is 1 hectare.
Yeah, so 2.5 acres we have overall.
Okay.
Most of that is grassland or, just nature. for all the bees and birds and other animals. But we have 1/2 acre of vegetable farming land. Yeah.
Oh, and do you have chickens?
We have chickens, like, I think right now it's 9 chickens, yeah. So this is just for fun. I mean, they help us a little bit. They also produce some manure and fertilizer.
Yeah.
But also they regulate... the soil and the animals in the soil. But it's mostly for eggs for ourselves.
Yeah. My sister has a bunch of chickens and she gives us the eggs. I can't go back to the store eggs. It's funny. You talk about like people thinking, oh, this tastes better. Like my whole life I've eaten store eggs and be like, these are good. And then I got some from her. I'm like, oh, like the yolks are creamy and really golden. I don't know if the color makes a difference, but they taste great.
I mean, I think the color indicates the quality, yeah.
Okay.
Problem is, industry understood that and they added some colorizer to
their food. To their food. Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is not a 100% indicator, but it's really like you say, once you have your own eggs, it's just totally different to the best ones you can buy in the stores.
Yeah, it's unreal.
Yeah, and I mean the garden, we farm as 2 people with each of us like 60% working in the garden.
Okay.
So this is quite a challenge because it's not much of time for that big of a garden. But now in the second year, I think we're doing fine. And it's interesting because I really want to discover how you can do vegetable growing and farming with less time intensive work as people used to. Because when I talk to farmers here, they are all overworked and they don't earn a lot of money. And everyone asks, why are you doing this? You can't come from IT. Why are you going to farm now?
They're getting burned out on farming.
Yes, they really get burned out or are burned out since years, but they have no other choice. So it's not really great for many of them. So this is pretty interesting to explore how can we do it differently, use other tools, other techniques, and just let nature do half of the work for you. So in regards to the fertilizer, we try to minimize our usage of fertilizer by just letting nature do what it is good at. So, for example, we till, we have green manure. We sow it into the beds and we till it into the beds when it's like 5 centimeters high. And so a few weeks after, that is fertilizer for the next plants. And we don't need to carry this stuff away, compost it, and then put it on the beds again. It's just not necessary anymore. It doesn't work with every single variety, or for example, with carrots, it's harder, but it works with a lot and it saves so much time. So there are ways. It just needs to be explored. Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, that's fascinating. I just love how, like this is not like a side project. This is a business. This is a full-blown business. You're running, you have workshops, you're selling the crops. It looks like you have a bit of a blog for it as well, where you have updates for the crop. That's just awesome. that's really cool.
Yeah. So in regards to a business, maybe a few words on that. It is. Like for us, it's a business, but the problem is it's not profitable yet.
Okay.
So the size of the area is too small to serve two families, money-wise. So we need more land to grow more vegetables to be able to earn enough money so our two families can live from it. And that's actually our goal now. To have that as the main income. And we're currently in exchange and communicating and, preparing contract on a much bigger area. And it includes a shop as well, like a farm store. So that would be really, really nice if it works.
Do you think you'll reincorporate some of your tech skills into this operation at some point? Is that something you want to keep totally separate? Like a carrot
picking robot or something?
Yeah. Do you want to keep these completely separate, or eventually is it going to be like, well, maybe this could be easier or better with these already established skills that I have in these following ways?
Well, so I mean, for example, all the business stuff is totally useful for farming as well, because business is business. Totally, yeah. It doesn't matter on the industry. Marketing, PR, creating the website for the shop and for company. Yeah. That's all very useful. So we write a newsletter. It's part of our success story that we communicate with our customers in a very, very interactive and deep way. It's a customer journey. And with that, you know, I'm incorporating my knowledge from IT into the new company as well. And I think it's also the problem that most of the farmers have that don't have the knowledge. They know little about marketing or sales or something like that. They just want to grow food, but they don't know how to sell it. And yeah, I know, so I try to incorporate that. Apart from that, I try to not put any robotics or something like that into my farming. We use the computer and all sorts of Excel and custom stuff for crop planning and that kind of stuff, but yeah. Not for the farming itself.
We met a guy at Reactathon who works for a company, and he builds soil density monitoring, where basically they take soil density readings from around the farm, and they're able to somehow, with magic and robots and AI, figure out what needs to be tilled so farmers don't over-till. I believe that what it was. So yeah. That stuff. So my brother-in-law is a huge farmer, and he's always showing me both like next generation tractors, which are much smaller. Like you get more of them, but they're smaller instead of these massive diesel ones. Yeah. So that stuff's always interesting to me as well. It's probably far from what you do. Like you don't even have a tractor, do you?
We have like these two-wheel tractors. I'm not sure if you know.
No.
It's a small mini tractor with just two wheels, and you have a tiller behind you, and we can mow as well with it. So that's pretty practical. And without it, it would be much more work.
Oh, that yeah. We have to say.
And apart from that, we have mostly mechanical tools, yeah. So I believe that for the small farmers, it's not worth investing in all these big machinery. You need to be really, really big so it makes sense yeah. to buy the huge tractors. And I mean, there's amazing development in the large farming sector in terms of using the soil better, better farming practices, less pesticides, etc. But it also costs a lot of money. So you need to be able to do this. And the problem I see, well, I'm too small. I know that I can't purchase it, but there are so many in-between farmers and they think they need to buy it, but they really don't need. And so they buy a lot of this stuff and they are always running empty on money. And it's just sad that they don't realize that they don't need it. Yeah.
Wow.
So as in tech, I mean, not everyone needs a huge blown up website. If you're just a small company, it's just why?
Yeah,
companies
yeah.
need it. So yeah, just depends as always.
That's cool. I follow another guy on YouTube called the post-apocalyptic inventor, and he is. Do you know who that is?
No.
It sounds I've never interesting. Heard of this either, yeah.
He has this YouTube channel where he is constantly, he just picks stuff out of not the trash, but where you go to recycle scrap metal, scrapyard. And he just pulls stuff out and fixes it. And he's very much about having skills that are useful in society, yeah. Which is, and is that like a German thing or is it just the fact that two of you are German?
I don't know.
Yeah, okay.
maybe it's part of a German thing. I don't think entirely, but when I lived in this big city in Munich, I thought I can do something with my hands. But actually, I had no clue on life, I would say now. And when I moved out into a village, in a small village here, 50 kilometers south, I had the opportunity to help in the forest, to help on the fields, help the farmers nearby, driving a tractor, cutting trees, making firewood, all that kind of stuff. And it was like my mind was completely blown away what I didn't know of in my life. And it felt like, well, I can do everything with a computer, but I have no clue how to survive if something crashes down in the system. And nowadays, it's completely vice versa. And I mean, I have my own vegetables, not all year round, but I know people who are and we can exchange. I know how to drive tractor. I know how to make firewood, how to build my own bed. Out of wood stuff. So I stocked up on tools as well in my house so I can do many things at home. I'm not good at metal stuff like gluing the metal sticks together.
Yeah.
How is it called?
Welding.
Soldering. Welding. Oh, welding. Soldering.
Yeah, welding. What else?
Welding, yeah. Soldering, and brazing are the three.
Not metal good gluing. At that.
Yeah.
But gladly, the brother of my wife is really good at that. So.
Oh, good.
It's just about connections.
Totally.
And have a great network where you can exchange things and share your knowledge. So that's important in gardening, in life, in IT. That's
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's a really good point. Awesome. Well, is there anything we didn't touch upon that is worth talking about burnout or gardening?
I don't know. It's just I get lost in these topics because it's such a huge area and I could yeah. talk for hours.
Yeah, for real. Yeah.
I think the most important thing I just said in the beginning but want to repeat on it is find your own way and follow up on it and trust yourself to do it. Like, not following up on any idea you have, but if the idea is really stuck in your head for a couple of weeks and you realize, well, this could be an opportunity that could work out really, like business-wise, but also for my mental health, for what I want to do, just follow up on it and try it out, no matter what other people say about it. Because my parents, for example, they weren't happy in the first place when I told them, I'm going to change my job. but yeah. now they are super yeah. happy years after, and they couldn't be more supportive to me now. So, yeah.
That's a really good point. Like, that's how I got into coding. It's just poking around at an interest that I have. And I think it's important to keep doing that in your life. So we usually have a bunch of questions to ask about text editor and advice you'd give.
We can do as you want.
All right, let's go through them and see what we have. What computer and keyboard do you use?
It's a MacBook Air M1. No keyboard externally. The LG 5K display.
Oh, wow.
This Rode NT1000 microphone.
So you still got the gear. Still got the gear.
Yeah, of course. Why selling it?
What a text editor and a theme do you use in your text editor?
Text editor in terms of text editor or code editor?
Code editor.
It's Visual Studio Code, and I have no clue which theme. A dark one.
Do you use green-based themes for your gardening-based themes?
Black, blue. I hate green-brown themes editor.
Yeah, brown and earth tones for me are not kind of a no-go, too, for themes.
Yeah, I think it doesn't work for my eyes. I don't know.
Yeah, likewise.
I'm using Dark Plus.
Dark Plus. Okay. I think that one is a standard VS Code one.
It says default or one of the default ones.
If you have one piece of advice to beginners, what would it be?
I think it's learning the basics. So really HTML, CSS, SVG, JavaScript itself. And then with the basics, look at the libraries and go into the details. But the basics, you will always need them. Mostly HTML, CSS, JavaScript. You can get around with other like framework knowledge, but HTML is so important. And you will struggle always with CSS if you don't understand the basic principles. And if you only started with one of these CSS in JS tools, you will never come to a point where you will be happy with the CSS.
Awesome. And what, Scott, you got one more?
Yeah, especially because you're publishing. I know these summaries. How do you stay up to date with this stuff? Is it just looking around, Googling around? What are your resources for finding things to stay up to date?
So in the past, it was nearly 100% Twitter. Nowadays, it isn't anymore. I'm not sure what changed and when it exactly changed, but I have the feeling that Twitter changed or my Twitter stream changed more into less links and useful article sharing into more personal talking. So these days, it's a little bit of Twitter, a lot of RSS feeds. And I think
any in particular that you enjoy? Just
not particular. I don't even know which exactly I'm following. It's a huge list of RSS feeds in my reader. Yeah.
Man, RSS is super underrated still.
Yeah.
In 2022.
It's hard to manage and keep up to date, but for me, it's one of the most vital things to collect links. Apart from that, Hacker News, I don't know. I'm just stumbling over links somewhere.
They just find you.
I read an article and I really don't know how exactly it works. It's such a complex thing. I read something on some site, I got into another site, and I have a lot of sources, but it varies a lot for my collection. And
yeah,
I don't think it's a useful advice for other people because it's so chaotic and I collect everything from these variety. So if you struggle with it, there are a lot of good summaries. I mean, there's my newsletter, of course, but there is Smashing Mac, there is CSS Tricks, there is, I think, Web Design Weekly is worth mentioning, CSS Weekly as a newsletter. There is from Stefan Judas, also a German guy, a really, really nice summary. And he has also like these Today I Learned section where he posts random snippets and explains a lot of small details. And it's so great because you learn a lot while reading a 1 minute piece every week.
He's got kind of a really nice little website here. I'm not familiar with his work, but really nice.
Awesome. Do you have any shameless plugs for us? Or sorry, sick pick or shameless plug?
Yeah, so the sick pick, I have something because I just bought it for vacation. It's the Boxio toilet for my camping van. which is the last missing bit. And it's so nice because it comes into a plastic box that you can staple and organize. And it's not even expensive.
Boxio toilet. Ah, oh, interesting. So that goes, you have a camper van?
And I think it's three random guys just manufacturing it right now. And they have a huge demand, it seems.
150 euros. And you can throw everything on your carrots after the fact. That's great.
Yeah.
What about shameless plugs? Anything the audience should go check out and listen, take a look at?
All my profiles and websites.
Awesome. Yeah, we'll make sure we get all those linked up.
No, I mean, so if you're interested in the gardening stuff, go into Instagram of my gardening profile. It's Schaufel Gabel on Instagram. And there you can find all the posts and pictures, which is the most important part of a garden. And apart from that, if you're interested in more of my thoughts on what I shared today, my website has a blog, a writing section, and you can find a lot of similar thoughts or deeper thoughts on that. Yeah.
Cool. Awesome. Cool. Thank you so much for coming on. Really appreciate you sharing everything that you've gone through and kind of the interesting stuff around your gardening. That was really cool. So I appreciate it.
Yeah, likewise.
You're welcome. And thank you for inviting me.
Oh, absolutely. All right. Hopefully we got that done before 11 p.m. You may go turn your Wi-Fi off now. All right. Thanks again. See ya.
Head on over to syntax.fm for a full archive of all of our shows. And don't forget to subscribe in your podcast player or drop a review if you like this show.